This is Indie Major, a show devoted to the wide-ranging stories and visions of individualized majors at the University of Connecticut. I'm your host, Ken Cormier. I'm here with Marie Lavendeer. Welcome, Marie.
Hi, Ken.
Thank you so much for being here. You have the distinction of being one of the first graduates with an individualized major from the University of Connecticut. And so it's such a pleasure to have you here to talk about that major. The major you created was called Movement Therapy. And why don't we start out just hearing a little bit about what that major was all about?
Okay. So just as a little backstory, I was a transfer student from Clark University and was a soc major there. And when I came to UConn, it's this huge school compared to Clark. And I switched to psych, but I didn't really like the focus on research at the time. This was in the 1970s. I don't know. The courses did not appeal to me, some of them. So I was wondering, how am I going to get a degree in this? And what are my options? So I started actually taking some dance. UConn had a small dance program, and really liked the professors, and they had a great theater department. I took some theater, mime, and so I really loved those courses. And somebody at the time told me, this is like 1974, that there was an individualized major program, and I should, you know, look into that. And so I did. There was, and I did. And I thought, I wonder if I can combine psychology, my psych courses, with these wonderful courses in dance and theater. I had gone through my senior year in high school, and I had some depression at the time. And therapy really helped me out. And so what appealed to me, and I was seeing a dance therapist actually in stores at the time. She had her own practice, and I thought, oh wow, this really resonates with me. I feel alive when I dance. I love movement. So I started thinking about movement therapy. Okay, let me design this major here.
Wow. So that's fascinating. So did you bring with you to UConn, did you already have an interest in dance and theater and that sort of stuff? Or was that something that you encountered in classes at UConn and developed an interest for?
So growing up, my father loved to dance. And after the dishes were done, we would all go in the living room and put on his records and dance together. And he taught us cha-cha and swing and everything. And it was really a lot of fun. And so I always had that, and I did study a little dance beforehand, and I was an athlete, and dance really appealed to me.
And you had that interest in psychology because you thought it might be a career path, or you said you had experienced depression. Did you have an interest in that field based on some of those experiences?
Yes, definitely. That's what led me to look at those experiences like dance and drama as a healing modality. And they are actually therapies in their own right. Drama therapy, dance therapy, movement therapy.
And you said at the time you were actually seeing somebody who was practicing dance therapy. Now was dance therapy, how experimental was that sort of mode of therapy at the time?
Actually, it was pretty popular. It was pretty well known at the time. You don't hear it so much now. The issue really was back then, and this is what I also said in my presentation to the panel of professors, I need a graduate program too after this, a master's in dance therapy, because that's when you do your clinical work and you learn the therapeutic approach, you know, how to do therapy. So that was the caveat. Yeah, I would go on to graduate school and learn more.
Right, right. So as a testament to this individualized major program, which is now, you know, in its 50th year, our first graduates graduated in the year 1976, which is when you finished your degree. As a testament to that program, we have documents. We've got your application, your final plan of study. You wrote a short essay, which students still do today, explaining the rationale for the kind of major that you're creating. And as you just said, you actually went before a panel of faculty to explain and talk about the major that you wanted to create. Combining classes that were on the catalog in psychology, on the catalog in drama and dance. But I also see here a couple of independent studies. And I wonder if you recall, there was one, there was a transpersonal psych independent study, and then one called Gestalt slash Dance Therapy. Were those, what were, how did those, do you remember those and how those came together?
Wow, interesting. I can't even remember. Well, what I remember about the transpersonal psychology is one of my favorite professors was Kenneth Ring, who was teaching a class in transpersonal psychology, and he wrote a lot of books about the after-death experience, life after death.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that he's really well known for that. And I was, I think, writing something for him, maybe even typing some of his book up. But I think that might have been the independent study. And the other one was Gestalt. I'm not remembering that, but maybe it was with this particular dance therapist. I did have an interest in Gestalt. It was a great approach to therapy too. It's a very holistic approach, using the body and the sensations in the body as a guide to your emotions and your emotional issues.
Wow. Okay. Well, that totally ties in to this theme that you created. We talked a little bit about what inspired you to be interested in both of these areas. But what was it about you where you didn't want to necessarily do like a major in one or a minor in the other or whatever, but you really wanted to create this whole new major that didn't exist?
One thing I remember is I was terrified to go in and pitch this, and I almost didn't go in, but I just forced myself, and I'm glad I did. And the other is my husband and I were talking about this too. I'm sort of a maverick, taking my own route, my own path, which is very circuitous. It's not the straight path. And it was actually amazing to me, like almost miraculous, that, oh, I can design my own major and do the things that bring me passion and inspire me and go on and do more.
Can you give us kind of a flavor of like how radical it felt to you to take your education into your own hands? And maybe also, what did the campus itself feel like back then? Did it feel like a place of new radical possibilities, or was it just small pockets of folks who were thinking in those ways?
Well, what I remember is UConn making the front page of the Time magazine because of the streaking in the middle of winter.
Right.
That seemed to be what we were noticed for. But no, I mean, because I came from Clark, which was really radical and small. And during the Vietnam War, like everybody I knew was demonstrating against it there and going into Boston. UConn was, and when I was there, it was kind of the shift to the disco generation too.
Right.
Because the war finally ended. People did not, like my fellow students, I had no idea what an individualized major was for the most part. But in the dance department, my fellow students, my friends got it. They understood. But yeah, it was pretty much a mystery to most students didn't know about it.
Was there anything else within your major that when you think back to as somebody you worked with or a particular class or project you did that really sticks with you?
I became very close to the head of the dance program, Marcia Heath, and she was just really supportive and a great teacher and, you know, took us down to the Wadsworth Athenaeum where there was a sound sculpture exhibit and we got to play and improvise in there. But she was just really supportive it's kind of like, you know, I didn't have a dance therapist professor or anything, but she's one of the people I really got to like. And, you know, I ended up going to grad school.
What grad school did you pursue?
I actually got into some programs in dance therapy in the 70s, and I just wasn't ready to go. I tore my ACL and all this stuff happened, but continued to dance and teach dance to adults and kids. And then in the 90s, I actually had two children and a husband, and I went to Central Connecticut State University, right in New Britain, close by, and I got a degree in marriage and family therapy. But my clientele were children. Wow. and their families, so I did a lot of movement with them, because you can't sit there really and talk to a child and really find out what's going on.
Interesting. So you were able to, so you stuck with that therapy mode and then brought in your insights into movement, working with children. So you had, obviously, when you did this degree, you were thinking of a career in therapy.
Yes. And interestingly enough, I went into teaching for various reasons. And as a teacher, and I taught kids from second, third, seventh, and eighth grade in the inner city of Hartford, I used a lot of movement in my classroom. I taught community college and used a lot of, I taught writing in humanities and used movement and meditation in my classes. The students loved that. And I had, it was during the Iraqi war, so I had some vets in my class sometimes who were traumatized, you know, and so when my students had problems, my degree in marriage and family therapy helped me be able to help them.
It sounds like you were able to bring this richness of this interesting interdisciplinary experience about movement and therapy into these different settings, whether it's teaching or therapy sessions. I don't know what other ways, how has this sort of vision you had back when you were an undergraduate and created this major, how has that sort of stayed with you through your different experiences throughout life?
Right now, actually, I'm a certified Qigong teacher, which is like Tai Chi, and movement teacher in all these movement modalities. And so I have my own home studio and teach. I've been teaching for 15 years and very healing and doing some coaching with people. And right now I'm also going to be doing another life coaching training.
Wow. And you've been involved with dance in different ways too throughout the years?
Oh yeah. I taught, choreographed, performed. Before I really went into teaching school, I got hired to go to the Caribbean and be a dance teacher and a choreographer, and that was fun. And then came back, and I've just always had dancing in my life. Movement in my life in some ways. Now it's more like healing modality. As I'm older, I'm not performing or anything, but yeah, it's very grounding and healing and fun.
Yeah. And so, to think back to the way you talked about how effective it was with children, with adults seeking education, those who had been to war that you were mentioning, and then now as a healing modality for older folks who are coming in and looking for some form of therapy. It's kind of amazing how that trajectory is sort of works in all these phases and modes of life. Now, you had said that in the 70s, you were seeing a dance therapist. Maybe it was sort of new, but it was popular. How do you think that field has evolved, and where are we now in terms of dance therapy? Is the interest sustained? Does it feel sort of more like a part of traditional therapy?
That's a good question. I think you don't hear so much about dance therapists right now, but I know that psychiatric institutions and hospitals have dance therapists. Hospitals have movement therapists for children, but I think that what has blossomed is are these different healing dance modalities that people are into, like ecstatic dance, yoga dance from Kripalu, which is this yoga institute in the Berkshires, conscious dance. One of my students that I had as a dance student and Qigong student now has a conscious dance venue that they offer, she offers. And people come and they move, and there's a certain structure and there's guidance, but people, you know, get to connect with their bodies, connect with their emotions in that kind of milieu. And that's really very popular now. I mean, there's a whole bunch of that going on, even in New England. And so that is healing in itself, because we do sit around sometime and talk after and process. And it's obvious that, you know, people really need this right now. They need to be in this place and moving and more. It's not even improv dance. It's more of a sacred kind of dance. There are many modalities of movement right now that people can participate in.
Yeah. I find it fascinating every time a student comes through our door and they have these ideas, and then slowly but surely they piece it together, which classes they're going to take because they really want to learn these specific things in these different areas. And when they write up their rationale for what it is and we interview them, you know, the process sounds like, interestingly, it's not much different from what it was when you went through it. And I'm so glad that you were, you know, it sounds like it was a great opportunity at the time.
Yes.
To be able to piece this together. And it was just so brand new. And so, you know, a couple years earlier and you would not have been able to do this. Right. Thank you so much. I just want to thank you so much for sharing this story with us. And it's just been an absolute pleasure to speak with you.
Well, thank you, Ken. It's been a pleasure going down memory lane and trying to remember everything that happened back then and meeting you and hearing about how great the program is. So
thank you so much. Thanks for listening to Indie Major. If you'd like more information about individualized and interdisciplinary studies at the University of Connecticut, please visit our website at iisp.ucon.edu. That's iisp.ucon.edu. We'd also like to thank UConn Enrichment Programs and WHUS UConn Radio for their support of this show.